Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went home.
And the crowd came together again so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He's out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub and the ruler of the demons. That's how he casts out the demons." And he called out to them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Indeed, the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they had said he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called. A crowd was sitting around him, and he said, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here is my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Oh, I have not done a children's sermon for so long. Can I borrow your children? Would the kids come up and sit over here, please? Come. And my faithful assistant, there are 3 toys sitting on the table next to you. Bring them to me, please. Oh, yes, I'm so happy to see you. You can sit right here if you want to. That's far enough away, I guess. Ho. Now, you're going to help me do the sermon. Yes. What is this?
A cow,
okay. What is this?
A light-up bulb.
Yes, I think it's a scepter, but I'm not sure. Okay, neither do I, so this is gonna be interesting. What is this?
A shovel.
A shovel, okay. You guys get to pick which one of these toys do you want me to give a children's sermon about? In other words, I have to tell you something about each toy that you will understand, that'll help you understand about God's love. Which one do you want to pick? Come, here, pick, point.
Is that the one you,
okay, all right. Very good. Don't laugh. You're not sitting here on the hot seat. Okay, I'm going to tell you what this looks like to me. This looks like what kings and queens carry to show their authority. It's called a scepter. Now, anybody here want to challenge that assumption? Then you can come up here. No, it's all right. So, this reminds me of the church and God and the Christian life in this way. God rules everything. And someday when you go to high school and college, you're going to study about how big the universe really is. And he rules the king over everything. Okay, now what else can I tell you? Oh, I know. Did you know that when you were baptized, God put his name on you and gave you his Holy Spirit, so now you are a king and a queen in God's kingdom. And so as you're growing, you're learning how to be more like God. And your parents help you with that. Sunday school helps you with that. The church helps you with that. So whenever you start feeling like, oh dear, I don't think I know what I'm doing, or I did the wrong thing, always remember the scepter and go, that's right. God the Father, who rules over everything, has appointed me to be a son or a daughter to him. Did that make sense to you? Yeah. Oh, good for you. You're going to be so good in confirmation. you're going to get an A every time. Yet now she whispers, I didn't get it. That's all right. It's okay. Would you mind putting these on the bench, and then you can go back to Mom and Dad? Oh, and poke them once in a while so that they don't fall asleep during the sermon. Okay? Yeah, no, not the toys. Okay. Go sit down with your mom and dad. Okay. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This sermon is going to take a little while, so I want you to get out your blue books and your number two pencils, because you'll be quizzed on this. The question that arises when you look at the passage is, why is this story told? What purpose does it have? And why, of all the gospel lessons, is Mark the one who tells this story? Well, before we get to how this applies to us, we got to ask some basic questions. One is, Mark is the first of the gospels that we know to have been written prior to the other three. At least that's the evidence that we have found in our research. Part of what the church was facing in Mark's time was they knew Jesus had been raised from the dead, that he had come alive after 3 days in the tomb, that the tombstone was rolled away, and that he had arisen. And this was so amazing, they really didn't quite know what to make of that. It's like when we have something out of the blue comes to us, like driving up my neighbor's driveway and taking a young lady to dinner one night. Never expected it. So part of what's going on, the official religious people from Jerusalem, the priests, the elders, the scribes, the ones who are supposed to know everything about God and Scripture, start accusing Jesus of doing outlandish things that could not be done except by either Satan, the prince of darkness, or by God. And they were so convinced that it can't be God, therefore it must be Satan. Now, why would they make that assumption? Well, I know in our day and age, I watch a lot of Netflix and Amazon Prime, and my wife will attest that I like the darker side of life, and I see all kinds of murder mysteries and strange endings. But as I do that, I realize that a lot of the movies that are being seen today have kind of a mixed message. The hero doesn't always win. Good does not always triumph over bad. And apparently, people of this generation are not sure of their future. So they make movies about maybe someone will win, maybe someone won't. And they're so convinced that the world is evil and crooked, and that we have people in office who lie and cheat, make money off the taxpayer, so forth and so on. And that's kind of the storyline by which we are living at the present time. So here was the deal. The early church had to wrestle with this basic question. They knew that there were things that happen in nature that are bad. Earthquakes, famines, floods, droughts, famines. But bad things would happen that they couldn't account for. So when Jesus was, when the women went to the tomb and found it empty, and an angel was standing beside the tomb and said, go to Galilee. He said he'd meet you there. They were terrified. They did not quite know what to make of it. And so the early church knew God had done something powerful, but they didn't quite get it. They didn't quite understand the implications of it. That came later. So Mark, in order to comfort his church that he attended worship at, wrote the gospel in such a way that explained step by step that Jesus, in everything that he said and did, reflected the power of God in the world. Now, the question comes for you. This is where you have to write in your number two book or your blue book and a number two pencil. When you look at the world, which seems to have more power, evil or good? What? Nobody's going to answer out loud? Okay, all right. Yes. Which is which? Good. All right. Good answer. But it's so easy, especially for some of us who are aging, to look back on our lives and remember the unpleasant things and not the good things. So this gospel lesson has Jesus say, you got to make a decision. If you think that Satan is taking over the world, then you better think twice about what you're doing. But if God is in charge, if you really believe that God is in charge, then you've got to get with the program. One of the things that I've done as a pastor and other pastors have done is they start asking their congregation the following question during their weekly adult Bible study and or from the sermon. How have you seen God working in your life and in this world this last week? And boy, I tell you, the first couple of Sundays that a pastor does that, people are scratching their head, and it takes them a while. And finally, once you get the hang of it, you get to see that God's working in this world in all kinds of ways, even through ourselves. A phone call placed when someone's name pops into our head out of the blue, and it turns out it was just perfect timing because they were in distress at the moment and your voice gave them comfort. Times when you stopped to pick up a hitchhiker for no good reason, but you did it anyhow, and it made all the difference in the world for that person. Sometimes you do things that are not in your character and you don't know why you do them, but you did it. And later on you discover that what you did had a powerful impact on someone. I have been told, I do not know nor do I look it up, that there are 6 pastors that became pastors because they thought I was pretty hot as a pastor. I don't know where they got that idea. Couldn't tell you. All I know is somehow my words reached the heart of 6 people who decided they wanted to be able to share the gospel of the Lord the way I shared it with them. Now let's get down to the final part. The final part, Jesus says, those who do the will of God are my brothers and sisters. Now, I know there aren't a lot of us sitting in the pews today. I see a lot of you are out viewing us online. But how are you acting as the will of God in this time and place? How are you acting as the will of God to your children, to your spouses? Yes, even the crabby children who say, "Dad, it's time for you to go to the nursing home." Ha, 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 you think I'm going on. Never mind. That's never happened to me. Never. But when you realize that each one of us has that connection with Jesus, and that through him, the Spirit of God flows in ways that we don't always understand, then we look at each other in different ways. And we see in each other certain gifts that we don't have, but they do. And so this church would not be complete without the members here. Now, my friends and brothers in Christ, what will you do this week? Or maybe I should put it this way. Will you look to see where God is working in your life and the lives of those around you? And will you rejoice with joy and add to that work? Or are you going to walk through your life blind, not able to see it, and therefore not have the peace that Jesus promised us? It is my hope, my honor, and with great respect, I say, go, do the will of Christ, then come and tell us how it worked out and how you discerned it. And thereby we will grow in Christ, and we will be brothers, sisters, fathers, and mothers of Jesus, and we will be his hands, his eyes. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.